Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. A bottle of Lucas Complete Fuel Treatment can clean your system and help your engine get more MPGs. Right now, you can get two bottles for only $9.99. A great deal to help you go a great deal farther. Find Lucas Complete Fuel Treatment and everything you need for better fuel efficiency at any one of our 6,300 stores.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And Matt, the Steelers getting some very interesting news today from practice.
Encouraging news, yeah.
Very encouraging news. Minkah Fitzpatrick, a full participant in practice today.
Wow. So did he have the procedure done on Sunday or Saturday? Okay. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about modern medicine, but he's not sitting in a chair podcasting right now. He's doing some pretty extensive physical activity. I give him all the credit in the world.
Yeah. Now he still has to be cleared by doctors to who have to say it's okay to go out and. Well, I mean, there's one thing. It's one thing to go out and run around.
Sure.
It's another thing to go throw your body around and hit people
and tackle Joe Mixon and and cover T. Higgins and exactly
things of that nature.
Right. But he also has a couple days more to heal.
Yeah. So
wow, that's great.
Looking up in that respect, and as you recall, the first game against the Bengals this season, well, Minkah Fitzpatrick was pretty impactful in that game.
Yeah, a little bit of an influence on that one. So this will be the first time we actually see the true three-safety package, too, I would imagine. You know, I
mean, yeah, there's potential for that. There's potential for all kinds of good stuff.
Right. That's great news.
You would expect that the Steelers wouldn't have to blitz Joe Burrow as much.
I would assume blitz percentage is going to drop drastically.
Yeah.
Especially against that line they're playing, too. I mean, they're going to get home a lot, I think.
In that week one matchup, the Steelers pressured Joe Burrow 36.7% on 36.7% of his dropbacks.
Wow.
They blitzed on 11.7% of his dropbacks.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were getting there with four.
Yes.
A lot.
I mean, when this defense is right and healthy and rolling, I don't think they want to blitz much. You know, and that's where it was in week one. I mean, they came in healthy and, you know, TJ, they didn't know TJ was about to get hurt and all these things. I don't think they want to be a blitz heavy team.
Yeah. They blitzed even less last week. In the two games now with TJ Watt on the field this season, they have blitzed 9.7% of the time.
Okay.
And yet they have a 32.3% pressure rate.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it says all you need to know.
And a 9.7% sack percentage. And the passer rating allowed against them allowed is 45.5.
Interesting.
With Watt off the field, they blitz 27.1% of the time. So three times as much.
Three times as much, right.
But they only get their 19.3% or pressure 19.3% of the time and had a sack percentage of 3.9.
I'd say the sack percentage is really low.
Yeah.
I mean, it's night and day. That's actually one of my off-season spreadsheets. I have a column for blitz for all 32 teams, a column for pressure rate. I know, big time. And sacks. And you can really tell, like, the Raiders last year were bottom in the league in blitz. But they were about middle of the road in sacks and pressure. It's like, well, that's
they could get
phenomenal.
There with four.
Right. Max Crosby had a big year. You know, I mean, I think you can tell a lot by that over the course of 17 games. You know, sorting them different ways and be like, who stands out? And, boy, they're not getting any pressure and they're blitzing like crazy. Like the Lions blitzed like crazy last year, got no pressure. Well, you draft Aiden Hutchinson second overall. You know,
there you go.
Not much better, but still.
The Steelers' secondary versus the blitz. On blitzes this season, I should say.
By the way, Burrow kills the blitz.
He kills the blitz.
Yeah.
When they've blitzed though this year, the man coverage percentage is 82.7% of the time.
Okay.
So they're still playing pretty common, right? Yeah,
yeah,
they're playing man pretty much when they blitz behind it. The target separation, number one in the league, just 2.5.
Yeah, I saw that today too. I thought that was really interesting.
So their coverage has been great
during blitz.
Yeah, when they're blitzing, they've done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to blitz now, and that's kind of the beauty of it. Now you can take that extra guy or two and put them in coverage.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we always think of Minka as a deep middle guy, but he could lurk. I mean, he does a lot of that too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you creep up and take away crossing routes, things like that as well. I mean, in this case, you don't need a spy necessarily for Burrow.
Matt, in that first game when the Steelers picked Burrow off four times, a lot of it was them jumping patterns.
Being very aggressive. Putting their foot in the ground, attacking the ball in the air, right?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, I'll let them catch it and make sure I get them on the ground.
Yeah, they were going after the football.
They were. And more people, you know, in coverage past the line of scrimmage makes that a little easier. You know,
right.
If I miss a tackle here or
somebody's going to get this guy down.
Right.
Oh, and oh, by the way, you take Ja'Marr Chase out of the equation.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Who is their best run after the catch guy.
Right. And he's tremendous.
Yeah, might be the best run after the catch guy in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
a top five receiver at a minimum. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I hear you. That part all sets up really well because you don't want to blitz Burrow.
Right.
I mean, he does kill it. You don't want to be short on coverage, especially when they have Chase. But even so, they're still dangerous receivers. So, no, that's a it's one of the many massive ripple effects of Watt coming back.
Yeah. As we were doing a video earlier today, I'm watching the Minka Fitzpatrick pick early in the game. I'm like, oh, that's right. This was the game where they were just attacking the football like crazy.
It was a real different mentality, you know, again, of just trying to undercut everything, you know, really attacking the ball in the air. I assumed they played a lot of zone in that game. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah.
Just eyes on the quarterback, attack downhill and try to pick some off. And they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thus far this season against the AFC North, Joe Burrow.
This is startling, too.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's 0-3 against the AFC North.
Yep.
He's averaged 6.4 yards per pass attempt. His touchdown to interception ratio is 5-6. Obviously, the game against the Steelers
skewed that a little bit.
Yeah.
Right, still.
Passer rating of 77.5, and he's been sacked 4.7 times a game in those games.
Okay.
Outside the division, they're 5-1.
I'd say they're killing it
against non-division opponents.
Yeah,
his yards per attempt is 8.3, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions.
I know, isn't that insane? So
117.3 passer rating, sacked 2.7 times in those games.
So I'll take it up up in another level because I think this is really an interesting topic. They're averaging 16.7 points scored against AFC North teams, which is three games. It's not one.
Right.
Well, they're just under 30 points against everybody else. I mean, it's almost double. I mean, it's 14 points difference. When I read that, I thought, well, maybe it's a small sample size. It's only three. Okay. But then I start thinking about it, and the tape nerds out there will tell you, especially the first six games or so, that this was a very predictable offense, you know, that they had some tells of, you know, it was as bad as when I almost called him Carson Palmer, when Burrow was under center.
He didn't do very well either.
No. High percentage of run when he was under center. And then shotgun, very, very high percentage of pass. Well, now he never goes under center. And there were some people that even spotted Mixon stands different when he's going to get the ball. You know, like, so I wondered, because of those things I'd heard before, do the other teams of division have a book on this team more than others? You know, like you play against them enough.
And that's what happens.
And it happens in all divisions.
In every sport, it happens. You know, there are always tells. I mean, that's one thing. You know, when I'm coaching baseball now, I'm watching the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? You know, when he throws his curveball, does he
hold his glove?
We're playing a game, I think it was last year, maybe it was the year before, where every time a kid would throw his fastball, as he was coming down, he would double tap his glove. When he threw his curveball, he didn't double tap the glove.
Okay.
Like little things, it's things you wouldn't think about, but it's obvious if you're looking for them.
And that's what quality control guys are doing all week, is things like that. Sorting data, like I was being a nerd with the sack stuff, but way deeper, as well as watching the tape. Do these two correlate? You know,
well, to that point, who won the division last year?
Oh, sure.
The Bengals.
The Bengals, right.
So you spend the offseason studying the Bengals because that's the team you got to catch.
Yep. I remember the first year I did anything in the world of football, I was a volunteer for Duquesne. And I would just do whatever. You know, like if our defensive back coach who drove a bread truck didn't show up, I was a defensive back coach that day. Or I'd get the bags ready for the guys. But I watched all the recruiting tape, of course, which I later did in life. And I would always watch the opponent and just kind of get any idea. And it was, I was so proud of myself. I ran over to Greg Catuso like on a Wednesday. I'm like, their left guard, when he puts his, every run, he leans heavy on his right, on his down hand, and you can see the white of his knuckles. And otherwise, he's like super light on it. Yeah. I'm like, and after the game, he's like, dude, you were so right. I told all the guys that during the game. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, all right, maybe I can do something in this world, you know?
Yeah, but that's those. Pup. I mean, those are the things that you look for. I mean, you know, it's like I tell my catchers, like if you see that the batter who is typically back in the batter's box, mm-hmm. or at least even with the plate, if he's up a little bit in front of the plate, he's probably bunting.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because you want to bunt the ball straight down and have it and be in fair territory. That's one of the tells on whether a guy's bunting or not.
Okay. I'm sure base runners have all kinds of
tells. Oh, yeah. You know and there's things that you can look, right, you look at the pitcher, you start to time up his delivery home, those kind of things, and you can just steal the base. The catcher can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Because you're timing it up off the pitcher. You're stealing off the pitcher, not the catcher. Same thing here, that obviously the AFC North teams might know a little more something about Burrow. And maybe beyond that, his offensive line and maybe the Bengals' hots.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the sacks are up a little bit. We know if we're coming on him or if he wants to get rid of the ball quickly, he's going to Tyler Boyd in the slot on this slant every time.
So we cover
that up. He has nowhere to go. He holds the ball an extra second. We get the sack.
We used to blitz him this way, but now we're going to blitz him with Bush bailing as hard as possible to the slant.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe disrupt the ball or he double clutches it, sack, whatever.
Right.
You know? Absolutely. I mean, that's coaching. I mean, that's what they do all week is that kind of stuff. You know, and those numbers and just what people have said about this team make me think that the division might know the Bengals better than the Bengals know the division.
Yeah. The games, really, I know the Steelers game ended up 23-20 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that close.
No, they put a whipping on them pretty early there.
I mean, it was a pretty thorough beating of that offense.
Yeah.
I mean, Burrow got hit and hit and hit.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same, but there's definitely, I'm a big believer that when you play Lamar Jackson the first time, you're at a massive disadvantage.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky, they're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's my game.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
If you look at his record in his first start.
He's never lost to an NFC team the first time he's played him.
Right.
Or whatever,
they just don't. I mean, again, you can watch it.
You can't simulate it during practice.
Yeah, you watch it on tape, but you don't realize how fast he is until you get on, and then he's running by you.
And nobody plays that style of offense with them.
And you don't have anybody on your scout team that can simulate that.
No, not even close. I mean, 100%. So, no, I think there's a lot of that type of stuff. I mean, if you're familiar with Jackson, I bet the Eagles are sort of like that, too, because they play differently than everybody else. Or maybe Atlanta this year, you know, that kind of play a different brand, or Chicago. If you've never played it, it's like, I'm not used to this. Or a team that plays a lot of fullback, you know, a lot of two back, you know.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Burrow, when sacked 4+ times in a game since 2021.
And there's plenty of those instances, by the way.
2-7.
2-7.
Nine times he's taken 4 or more sacks.
Mm-hmm. We were asked on a Steeler Live today, over under, what we say, 3.5, I think, was the line. I think we all went over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we were being homers. I went under on Najee's rushing yard. So did you. You know, like, I could easily envision four sacks.
Yeah. When under four sacks, 13-3 in that same time span.
Again, these are not flukes.
Yeah. You get to him, you can get him flustered a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Their points per game, again, when he's not sacked, they're 13-3. Mm-hmm. They average 30.2 points per game.
Wow.
Touchdown to interception ratio, 36-8.
36-8, wow.
Get a 114.7 passer rating. When he is sacked 4-plus times, 2-7, they average 21 points per game, 16 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, passer rating of 92.6.
Yeah.
The quarterback must go down.
Must go down. But I don't want to blitz him.
But you don't want to blitz him.
Go back to if we were talking about.
Which is why it's such a big deal that you got T.J. Watt back. Right, I would not want to, if I'm the Steelers, I don't want to play the Bengals without T.J. Watt.
If this was a game 3 weeks ago, it's massively different.
Yes.
More so than the Saints game or next week's game or whatever. I mean, in this game, it's imperative to have him.
Yeah.
You know, especially if Chase were around. But either way, you know.
Yeah. If you remember in that game too, Watt had an interception.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had got his hands on two different passes. He was doing a nice job of reading Burrow. Burrow talked about it when he was talking about the Steelers. He said he did a nice job of reading my feet and getting up into the passing lane. And he ended up picking one of those passes off. It was a ridiculous play.
Was it two plays in a row where he almost took the hand off and instead took Mixon's head off?
Yeah.
Was it a pick after that, or did he swat
one after
that?
I think it was
that?
A pick
I knew he
after
got the hands on the ball on a pass, but it was obvious back to our
He's reading
stuff.
Something.
He knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when we almost took the handoff for Mixon, he knew that was a run all day
100%,
long.
Yeah.
And then the next play, he knew that was a pass going his direction, too. And maybe it was a footwork thing. Maybe that's the tell. You know, maybe it's, you know, Burrow sets his feet a certain way when he's going to do a three-step drop or a five-step drop or a catch and throw or a handoff. I mean, if you study these guys, you find these things.
Yeah. The fact that Burrow said he must have been watching my feet tells me that maybe they figured out that there was something with the feet.
Who figured out the towel? Yeah, it could be.
Then you try to play with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, I mean, if the run was under center, does he have 1 foot back real heavy or something like that? Or
I don't know.
He's not balanced or whatever it is. But there's something going on there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to correct those things. Cause you
it really is because you do them because they're a habit.
Yeah. I'm sure you practice all week. And once you find out, boy, I'm showing my pitch or whatever. But, okay, maybe the first quarter you're fine. But then muscle memory hits.
You get a little tired.
Right.
You're into the game.
My whole life, and now they know, and I got to fix it.
Yeah.
That'd be something to look for.
Definitely interesting here. If you look at the Bengals, even more so. So Mixon had a big game last time out.
Yes.
Against the Carolina Panthers. His second best running game this year.
Oh, it's brutal.
Was in week one against the Steelers when he had 82 yards on 27 carries.
And I'd say he wasn't
he all was that 3 yards a carry.
Impactful. I mean, it was just a volume thing. Yeah. In a way, they kind of remind me of the Steelers in that their most recent game was clearly their best running game.
Yeah, ran the ball like crazy against the Panthers.
So we might look back, 10 games from now or when the season ends and say, boy, that was the turning point. They started to really run the ball in the second half of the season. Or we'll be like, remember that one time the Bengals ran it pretty well against the Panthers? Well, that didn't last. Or Steelers ran it all over the Saints. That didn't last. You know, so kind of have they figured it out or was it a fluke?
The Steelers' run defense is now up to sixth best in the league. 108 yards per game, 4.1 yards per carry. I know old-time Steeler fans are like, 108 yards, that's too many. In today's NFL, that's called stopping the run.
That's called stopping the run, right. And you laid this out well yesterday. I mean, yards per carry is up dramatically across the league. Rushing yards are up, passing yards are down. You hold a team to 100-ish, you're thrilled.
Yeah.
Oh, without question.
There are only five teams in the league this year holding their opponents under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah,
five.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, if you remember like the 2008 Steelers, they were number one across the board except in rush defense, and they gave up like 70 rushing yards per game, and Minnesota beat them by like 2 yards.
That was like the Williams wall.
They gave up like 68 or something like that.
I remember that team because I think Brady in New England played there on Monday night, and they ran the ball like twice.
Yeah.
It was like
don't even try.
And that
was all part of it. Now the script has flipped a little bit. Teams are willing to, okay, we're going to get 3 yards here, but we're going to get 3 yards.
That's what people are doing now.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
We're going to trust that
over, you know, we'd run the ball over and over again. At some point, we're going to break one.
Mm-hmm. In the fourth quarter, that's 5 yards.
Yeah, as long as we're not, you know, getting behind the sticks. Daniel Jeremiah, in fact, tweeted out today, and I retweeted this earlier. He kind of went into what we were talking about yesterday. He said that seeing what's happening around the NFL, he thinks that more the big two-gapping defensive tackles mm-hmm. will be much more highly coveted in this year's draft than they have been in recent years.
And since we talked, the Eagles signed Linval Joseph and Namakong Su.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The most proactive one, maybe the best team in the league. Maybe when you know Namakong's phone started, you know, ringing a little bit, you know,
it
makes perfect sense. I mean, especially maybe if it's only one of them on the field, it might not be a Williams Wall situation
right.
or those Saragusa and Adams, you know, but you put one in the middle of the field that can't really run, but demands a double team on inside runs, which the Bengals have.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and that worries me a little bit on interior run with Reader, but I think that will be more in vogue.
Yeah. Sure. I'm of the belief, and I wrote about this for tomorrow, going back to those numbers that I, you know, the power running numbers and mm-hmm. things that I brought up earlier in the week. If I'm the Steelers, I'm at least trying it.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
coming out
yeah.
in my big package and saying, hey, I don't care if Kenny Pickett yells across the line of scrimmage, hey, we're going to run the ball here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try it.
I mean, I think that's very much the plan post-Claypool.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot less 11.
You
got to
move people.
Right. And again, that doesn't mean Watt's going to be out there for 50 snaps.
Right.
Fullback Watt, not TJ. Or Gentry's going to play the whole game, or you're going to come out with 8 offensive linemen. But I think you'll see a lot of different ways of putting bigger people, even a Boykin, you know,
yeah.
or Hayward.
Which, by the way, you still can throw the football.
Right. Packages. Absolutely.
I mean, because the other team's going to get bigger, too.
They're going to get bigger. And if I'm I would kind of take that approach for both sides, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I want Boyd, Higgins, Johnson, and Pickens against any of the corners you can throw at me, you know.
Right.
And if I can make that happen by getting one more guy in the box, that's where my big plays might come.
Yeah.
Like I think Higgins could have a big game in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Pickens and Johnson could absolutely have big games in this game.
You know? Yeah. It's
you know,
all
even if you don't run the ball, but you just keep sticking with it.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
It's all relative. Who makes the big play? Who makes the big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other side of that coin.
Oh,
the Steelers are unbeaten this year, 3-0 when they don't turn the football over.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence either.
No.
Right.
Not one bit.
No, not a coincidence.
But we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. When we come back, we're going to have Jim Wexel join
us.
Yeah,
we're doing something a little different today.
Jim's got a new book out. I've read it. It's really good stuff. So we'll talk to Jim when we come back. You can also check out the Steelers Week in Review. It's hosted by Wesley Euler. It's a recap of the previous game, as well as a look at the Steelers' next opponent. New episodes drop every Tuesday. It's available on the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with more right after this.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.